better not turn this off. Our reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 20, the New Living Translation. But tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all of our preaching is useless and your faith is useless. And we apostles would be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there is no resurrection from the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. Amen.
You may be seated. I would just like to start with prayer. Lord, I just pray for each of us a greater significance. We would have a greater understanding the significance of what you have done, not only by dying on the cross, but the significance of you rising from the dead, your resurrection. And I pray that life we would know, that we would know that you are God and you are alive. In the name of Jesus, amen. So today we celebrate Easter. And so there's two celebrations in Christianity that we, the two main ones is his birth, Christmas, and then Easter, his resurrection. And Good Friday, we talked about the significance of the cross, that without the cross, there's no sacrifice for our sins. And only Jesus could be that perfect sacrifice. Only God could be, so to speak. If we go back to the Passover, it had to be a lamb without blemish. Okay, if you haven't noticed, we're all sinners. It was only God who could be that perfect sacrifice. And he was under no obligation to come and die for us. But he did it because he loves us. And he did it because he wants us to know how much he loves us. He didn't do it because, oh, worship me, worship me. No, we worship him because of who he is. He doesn't need it. God is self-sufficient. He truly doesn't need our worship, but when you understand him and who he is, you're going to worship him. And the degree that you know him will be the degree that you worship him. But today is the significance. Without Easter, without him rising from the dead, it, like John read, it means nothing. Basically, if without Jesus rising from the dead, it would be basically saying a good man died. So, good men have died throughout the centuries. But without him rising from the dead, it would mean he didn't conquer sin. He didn't conquer death. So it's all in vain, just like Paul was saying. Adrian Rogers points out the significance of the resurrection. He said, the resurrection is not merely important to the historic Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity. It is the singular doctrine that elevates Christianity above all other religions. And we heard a little bit from Billy Graham in the one song, but this is what he said. Without the resurrection, the cross is meaningless. The cross, the sacrifice, and the resurrection are unique only to Christianity. There's no other religion where a God dies for people's sins. There are some religions where a God dies and is resurrected. But these are not benevolent gods. Truthfully, they're not gods at all, but okay, we're going to go with it. I would say they're demigods. Demigods are not sovereign, they're not holy, but they're powerful. That's why they... Okay, gods are not... It's hard because it's like they're not truly gods, but they're worshipped. And with these gods, when you look at other religions, there's a worship to try and earn favor, to try and earn forgiveness, to try and earn your way into heaven. Christianity is very unique because it's all about grace and love. That God loved us so much that he came and died for us. So we would be forgiven of our sins. So we could have relationship with him. Whether God invites that. That he, the God of the universe who created all of us, who created everything, wants relationship with us. There's no other religion. And here's the significance of Easter. He's alive. He's not dead. And when you look at Christianity, either Christians are extremely stupid, or there's something going on. Because why in the world would you suffer for a dead God? Why would you suffer and die for a God only in your mind? Unless he's alive. Unless you experience him in your heart and you know he's alive. You look at the disciples. Here they're waiting going, yeah, Jesus is the Messiah. Oh, but he didn't turn out the Messiah they wanted. They were thinking a Messiah that was going to overthrow the Roman Empire and they get to rule with him. Hey, sign me up too. But he wasn't that kind of Messiah. He told them all along, hey, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to die, and the third day I'm going to rise again from the dead. And they're like, what's your problem? That isn't going to happen. You're going to rule. But when they encountered him being alive after his death, it changed them. And that's why we celebrate Easter. Because if this is just religion, and you come here because, well, you're supposed to, you know, it's a holiday. We can go to anywhere church, and attendance is always up on Easter because, you know, this is what we're supposed to do. But I'm sorry, Easter happens every day for the believer. Jesus has risen. We get to have a relationship with him. He's alive. He's not in the tomb anymore. And because he's alive, he conquered death. If he conquered death, that means he conquered sin. What causes death? Sin. And now we get to live a new life. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that we become new creatures and old things pass away. Think about when you first came to Jesus. There's probably some things that began to change. Did you arrive in perfection? I'm sorry, I hate to tell you, none of you are perfect. Do you think you are? See me afterwards. There's a whole process of sanctification that goes on, that changing. But there should be that initial change. I think of it in Matthew 7. It talks about people coming to Jesus and saying, Lord, Lord, did we not heal the sick? Did we not cast out demons? Did we not do great miracles? And Jesus said, depart from you, wicked ones. I never knew you. And in James, it talks about even demons believe in Jesus. Are demons, are they saved? Nope. But here's thing about Christianity. We serve him because he's alive. He isn't dead. It's not a dead religion. It's a personal religion. It's a personal relationship with him. Otherwise, we can become a Muslim, we can become Hindu. It's a dead religion. Because their God is not alive, and their God did not die for their sins because he loved them so much. So as we come and we look at Easter, how well do we know the risen Savior? Is it just, yeah, I believe? Or is it something deeper where you go, I know him? And as we grow in relationship with him, there's that realization that I need him every day, every day, every moment. Because when I start leaning on myself to follow Jesus, I become like the Pharisee. I go through the certain things to make myself right before God. And I can do this in my own strength. Paul even said he was a Pharisee amongst Pharisees, with the law flawless. I couldn't say that. And yet he was dead. But look at the Apostle Paul. When he came to know Jesus, he radically changed. That is so evidence that he encountered Jesus in a personal way. Andrew Murray said, a dead Christ I must do everything for. A living Christ does everything for me. How true. That's the difference between religion and relationship. And be in love with our God. Think of John 3:16-17. Just showing the heart of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes him should not perish but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Okay, that's the gospel. That's the heart of God. That God sent Jesus, his only Son. Okay, but he's part of the Trinity. He's God. And he came and he suffered and died so we would not be condemned. He didn't come to judge. He came to save. Okay, whether God does that, whether religion believes that, none do. And so when we look at Easter, we need to remember the gospel. Jesus came, he suffered and died. Why? So our sins would be forgiven. Okay. Past, present, and future. If we go back to the Old Testament and we'd be sacrificing sheep and other animals, it was a temporary fix to a major problem. And that problem was a heart condition. We were in bondage of sin and could not free ourselves. When we come to Christ, we begin to change. It's a heart change. With religion, it's just a bunch of duties. If I do X, Y, and Z, therefore I'm right before God. No, you're not. We're only right before God because of what Jesus did. And because of what Jesus did on the cross, a perfect sacrifice, now we're right. We have a right relationship with God. We can have fellowship with him. That's the power of Christianity. That's why the disciples rejoiced when they suffered for him. I don't know any other religion that they truly were excited when they got to suffer for him, who are willing to risk their life. I think of the Christians in Iran or China, where basically if you follow him, your life is in danger. And yet they do. What's different? It's because they've encountered the living God. Because he's alive. John MacArthur said, "The truth of the resurrection gives life to every other area of gospel truth. The resurrection is the pivot on which all Christianity turns, and without it, which none of the other truths would much matter. Without the resurrection, Christianity would be so much wishful thinking, taking its place alongside other human philosophies and other religions." Yeah. Without the resurrection, there is no proof that our sins are forgiven. And because Jesus rose from the dead, we have a promise. We have a promise of eternal life. We have a promise of heaven. If you haven't noticed, this world is not perfect. There's much to worry about. There's much to fear. But as a Christian, we have much to rejoice about. Jesus said, we're going to have trials and tribulations. Don't be surprised. He said the world's broken. He didn't come to fix the world. He came to save the world. This is not the Garden of Eden. Far from it. But he came to save us and change us. To know him. Tim Keller said, if Jesus rose from the dead, then you have to accept all that he has said. If he didn't rise from the dead, then why worry about anything what he has said? The issue on which everything hangs is whether or not you believe his teaching, whether he rose from the dead or not. So if you believe Jesus is just a good person, it doesn't save you. If you believe Jesus died for your sins, you're getting warmer. But if you believe that he came because he loves you, because he wants to set you free, that he wants to be Lord of your life, there's change. There's life. Again, this world is not easy. Jesus said it would not be easy. There's a battle that goes on every day. But who are you going to believe and who are you going to trust? And those days where you're just trying to keep your head above the water and you go, God, where are you? Are you going to trust he still remains the same? That he's still by your side saying, trust me. Trust me. I love you. Even when you don't understand. Because that's when he becomes most real. So when we get to the other side, and we say, wow, God, I didn't see that coming. Thank you for carrying me. I think of the parable of the footprints in the sand. And if you're, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but a man's reflecting his life, and he sees two footprints going across the beach. And it's him and Jesus. And all of a sudden, there's one set of footprints. And then he notices, that was the worst time of my life. And he looks at Jesus and goes, where were you? Kind of like, you abandoned me, buddy. And Jesus says, no, I was carrying you. We don't realize until later. But part of that, having that relationship with him, is trusting him, growing in faith. That's part of having new life. When you look at Christianity again, there's something different. It's not knowing Jesus in your head, it's knowing him in his heart, in your heart. And then continue to believe when it's really, really hard to believe. And saying, God, help me with my unbelief. I think I like the quote by Barry McCarty. The earliest Christians believed in the resurrection not because they couldn't find a dead body, but because they found a living Christ. And again, I keep circling that. What makes Christianity unique? It's not a dead body. It's a living God. This is why we celebrate Easter. But Easter should be every day, not just once a year. Can we celebrate that Jesus is alive? And the only way we're going to know that is through relationship. That relationship comes through prayer. It comes through reading his word. It comes through fellowship with other Christians. How often, when I am struggling, other Christians will come along, not knowing what I'm going through, and encourage me. Or, hey, they'll say, I don't know what you're going through, but I was praying for you. Reminds me that we serve a living God who is sovereign and in control. Did he take my struggles away? No. But how often in my struggles it reminds me how much I need him every day. And as I need him, I grow in relationship and he becomes more alive. So if you don't know Jesus in your heart, I was to say, I'm more happy to talk to you. And if you're like, I don't want to come up, okay, I get it. But there's a point to get away with God and go, Jesus, I want to know you. I really want to know you. I don't want to know you up here. I want to know you down here. I think the Bible talks about being born again. Up here is religion. Down here in your heart is being born again, where it becomes personal. And Jesus died that we may know him, that we may know the living God, not the dead God. Amen.